This is Roland. Welcome to the program. Today's program is about how to forgive and forget. I've made other programs about this topic, how to forgive and forget. A nice radio program that is a good introduction. But I want to go a little deeper today, so let's get started. How to forgive and forget. That's a big problem that we all have. As a matter of fact, it may be the biggest problem that we all have. The biggest problem. Or the biggest block that we have. That's the biggest block that we have. See, what we all need. Here, let me see if I can explain it to you. May I? You see, we humans are more than mere animals. Yes, we eat and drink and reproduce and walk around and so forth, just like animals do. But there's something different about humans. We have a soul. We have a soul, a capacity to... It's a little bit of heaven, a little bit of spirit within us. And so, what we do in this life, see, life, you know, you've heard people say life is just more than eat, drink, and be merry. It's more than just eating and drinking. You know that. You've always known that deep in your heart. See, you've known that life, there's more, there has to be more to life than just eating and drinking and copulating and watching sports and playing video games. There has to be more to life than that. We know that. There's something missing. We search for that something missing. And of course, some people, you know, when we're young, sometimes we just increase the amount of eating that we do, the amount of drinking that we do. We increase the amount of excitement that we have. See, and those things will sustain us for a while. The life of excitement, you know, going off on some adventure somewhere, okay. Those have their place, and all the things that we do, they're all, when we go for a bike ride, or we go out and do some work, or we start a business, we learn things, we study, these are all good, but still there's something more to life. And the reason that we sense that is because we have a soul. This soul is in the world, but not of the world. It's in our body, but it's not our body. See, you are not your body. You are your inner person, okay? And it's this inner person that either develops character or does not, that gets better or gets worse as we go through life. See, so all these experiences that we have, you know, wasn't it, was it Peter or was it James? It was James who said, count it a blessing when you fall into various temptations, because temptations worketh patience. See, and patience, I forget how he said it, but it's very beautiful. But as we have these, as things happen, see, temptations come along, the exigencies of life, the ups and downs of life, if we learn to deal with them properly, to not get bummed out over criticism and not to be overly puffed up over praise and adulation, to not get too high when things are going well and to not get all depressed when things are not going so well, you see? To develop character. That's what this life is about, okay? Now, some of us are not developing character. Some of us are not getting better. And what is it that's blocking us? Well, it is a little something called, and it's not a little something. It seems like a little something, but it's something called resentment. See, resentment is right at the edge. It's something that's between the soul and the body. It's between the material and the physical and the spiritual. It's between the physical and the metaphysical. somehow resentment is like an emotion, like fear or excitement or, you know, regular emotions that we have. And yet, on the other hand, it's something else. It somehow also affects the soul. And so resentment, okay, is what blocks us from moving forward. Resentment is what keeps us tied to the past. Resentment is what sustains the trauma, sustains the memories, sustains the unhappy emotions. See, resentment is what blocks us from learning and from growing in a proper way. And resentment ultimately blocks us from salvation. So it does a lot of very bad things. Okay? And so you need a little bit of tutoring, which is what you're getting right now. A little bit of tutoring about resentment. You need to be told that it's not just a little thing. It's not a little harmless thing. But now the problem that we all have is the resentment of the people in our past who hurt us, especially of our parents. That's our main problem, our parents. Our father who failed us, our father who wasn't there for us. See? And our mom, our unloved mom, who was maybe too much. Too much for you. She was too much for him. You flew the coop. And her kind of love. See, there has to be a father there for balance. To balance out her, a woman's love. See, the physical love, the emotional love, which is good for little babies and little toddlers. They need that. And see, but then the child needs to be able to gradually wean itself from that kind of love so it doesn't become smother love. So there has to be a balance there. When you look out in society, look at all the programs and for helping people, see, you see all of these programs, somehow they don't help people really become free. Somehow people never get beyond the trauma. They never get beyond the past. See, they never really get beyond it. Somehow these programs don't really help people get free because those are extensions of the smother, they're more smother love. You know, that you've heard the term a nanny government? Well, that's basically what it is. See, those are extensions of earthly kind of a love. But what we really need, ultimately, is a fatherly love. And a good father, a father who has a relationship with his creator, he has that kind of love coming from within. It's a love that weans a person from the earthly love. See, we need, as we mature, see, we should need less excitement, less love, less emotions, less love and hate, less excitement, see, and we become more steady, more stable, see, and then we begin to have a more heavenly set of emotions like joy, compassion, so on and so forth. You see? All right. So what keeps us from growing? What keeps us from becoming the Gandhi, the Moses, the George Washington, see? The John Wayne. See? What keeps us from the Margaret Thatcher? The Madame Curie. See, what keeps us back? No, it's not poverty. No, it's not lack of opportunity. No, it's not any of those things. Lack of money. Abraham Lincoln taught himself, all he had was one book. One book. It was the Bible, actually. It was the only book the family had. One book. And he read by firelight. He didn't have a lamp. He read by the fire, by the fireplace. See, became president. So you get the idea. The great explorers, the great inventors, the great scientists, Thomas Edison, Michael Faraday, James Clerk Maxwell, Albert Einstein. See, these people Steven Jobs, Steve Wozniak, Hewland and Packard, Christopher Columbus, these great explorers, inventors, adventurers. See, they grew beyond, they got beyond the trauma. See, and had a lot of love and a lot of courage. They had love and they had courage. So now what we need is to get beyond the past, get beyond the trauma. And in most of our lives, the biggest trauma we have is we resented our father. There was a distance between us and our father who wasn't. We resented him because he wasn't there for us. He let things happen. He wasn't stronger than the world. He himself was a victim. See, and so we had not enough dad and probably too much mom. Most single parent families are mom. So she can't help herself. She's doing the best she can. But kind of love, see, there has to also be a fatherly love from the Creator. So how are you going to find the Creator's love? Well, here's the good news. The good news is that you can find the Creator's love. You can become unblocked. And the traumas of the past can become as if they never happened. A faint memory. And then you can move forward to become the person that you really were meant to be, that the good Lord had in mind, had you not been traumatized and diverted from your path. Now, what's the thing that traumatized you the most? It's resentment. Resentment is what did it. And the worst resentment of all is resentment of our parents, and the very, very worst is resentment of your father. Okay? A person can resent their father even if they never knew their father. If their father was never there, he died in the war when they were an infant. Or father was a one-night stand with mom and he was never even there. Or parents divorced when we're a little kid. See, we can resent our father for not being there. Because somehow we know that if he was there, if our father was there for us, he would have protected us, he would have guided us. See, mom did the best she could, but we resented mom too. Resented mom for resenting her husband, or for resenting men, or for being cruel to us, or mean, or rejecting us, or loving us too much, with too much smother love, see? So the way we are, we humans, being egos, we lean toward resenting other people. Even if your parents had been, if you'd had perfect parents, you probably would have resented them anyway. Resented them for not letting you have your way or something or other. See? So what you have to see is that your ego resents. See? And then in the resentment, you feel empty. See? In other words, resentment cuts you off from God. Cuts you off from God's love from within. That's why you see people so compensated. See, most people who are successful are very compensated. They hated their mom because she pushed them to be a violinist. So she pushed him to be a violinist, and she was ambitious for him. So he either then threw the violin down, or found a way never to succeed, or his hands started shaking when he had to perform, found a way not to make it so he wouldn't have to, or he became a violinist, maybe even a great violinist. But it was all out of resentment. There was no joy in it. It wasn't the real him. If she'd have left him alone, he might have been a violinist on his own without her pressure. But soon he incorporates her pressure, and then he pressures himself. But underneath it all is resentment, a deep, deep, deep resentment of her for pressure, for being ambitious for him, for robbing him of his joy and innocence, or who he might have been. And a resentment of father for letting it happen, for not being there. See? To shield him from the ambitious pressures. See? All right, you got that? So, now you see how father has a role. He stands in for God on earth. When he fails, it's as if God failed. And we resent him for that. But your resentment then cuts you off from God's love, who you could find within. See, it doesn't matter what your parents did. It doesn't matter what anybody did to you or didn't do. whether failure, acts of commission or omission. It doesn't matter. You can still find God. See, if you're a lady and you're married to a husband and he's a good husband, well, that's nice. If he's not a good husband, you can still find God within. The secret is, don't resent your husband. Forgive your husband. Let go of the resentment. That's the secret, okay? Let go of the resentment of your father. That's very important. If you get my books, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage or Putting the Forever Back in Love, those are both good books. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, Putting the Forever Back in Love, or my book about parents and kids, which is called My Daughter Doesn't Want to Clean Her Room, a handbook for parents and kids. If you get any of those books and read them, you'll understand more deeply and get my meditation. So you can become objective and stand back a little bit. See, now you can't see the forest for the trees because you're lost in emotions. And you go out in the world and there's someone that looks like your dad or looks like your mom or talks like your dad or like your mom. There's someone like your brother you hated. You see what I mean? So you're just a creature of trauma. That's what you are, is a creature of trauma. And it keeps you from growing, from being free. So I've given you the secret. So let go of the resentment. It helps when you see that others are victims too. If your dad wasn't there for you, see, if he had had a relationship with the Creator, see, then he would have seen why he needed to be there for you. You see? But so he didn't have it. He didn't have it. He was a victim too. He was lost, struggling, perhaps out of control. See? And then some people are wicked. Okay, maybe your parent was wicked. They were doing things deliberately. See? But even then, it might have been something else in them. Might have been another. See, something gets into people. When we're hateful, when people are hateful, then something gets into us. The spirit of our violator gets inside. That's why you see kids that are violated, they grow up to become violators themselves. See, it doesn't make any sense. You think, why would a person who's been violated then do it to somebody else? It's because the spirit of the violation got inside of him. The violator's spirit got inside and grew up within him, and then he became like the violator. See? The same spirit. Okay? All right. So that's why we mustn't hate people. That's why we mustn't. It's a forbidden act. Hatred. And so what do you think all the drinking? Why do kids take alcohol? So these kids are taking alcohol. You see, kids that are 12, 13, 14, they're already taking alcohol, smoking marijuana. What is it? Why is it? Kids on college campus drinking. What is it all about? It's because of the guilt. The guilt for resenting their parents. The guilt for succumbing to the pressure. The guilt for not being themselves. The guilt for succumbing to the peer pressure. The guilt for being ambitious. See? So they drink, take drugs. See? And then the smother mothers. So the government programs are just the acceptable look of smother mothering, which is an extension of the family, where there's too much mom and not enough dad. So who are the other smother mothers out there that love you? They say, there, poor dear, your father's no good. Your father's no good. Here's some money. You go out and have a good time. Never mind what your father said. See? The kids know that sort of thing is not good for them. See? But the wife who hates her husband, that's what she'll do. It's her kind of love. It's worldly love. It's the love of, what does God say? The love of the world will separate you from the love of God. Something like that, Christ said. Well, that's it. And then out in society, then what kind of love do you have? You have the peer group love. You have the media love. See? The music love. The marijuana love. The drugs love. The pills love. See? The bartender loves you. You go into the bartender, you're a victim. You're a failure. You're hateful. See, you're not there for your wife, or you resent your husband. See, or you resent your parents, or you don't do the right, you're not doing the right thing, you're not living your own life. The bartender says, there, poor dear, have a drink. The marijuana seller says, there, poor dear, have a marijuana. Drug dealer says, there, poor dear, have this drug. See, the pharmacist says, there, there, poor dear, take these drugs. See? The store, the advertisers say, there, there, poor dear, just buy some more clothes, get another car, take another vacation. There, there, poor dear, go to Tahoe and Reno and gamble. See? There, there, poor dear, buy some lottery tickets. There, there, poor dear, eat more food. Eat more of this cleverly designed food. See, and it's all addicting and enslaving, isn't it? All right, so now you see how the love of the Father, how important the love of the Father is, and how resentment of our earthly Father for having failed us blocks us. You know, God said, if you don't forgive your... Christ said, basically he said, if you don't forgive your earthly Father, you can't find your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father won't forgive you. If you don't forgive others, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. So if you want a relationship with, if you want that fatherly love, that emotionless love, that agape love within, see, when you have that, see, then you won't need your food love and your drug love and your marijuana love and your all these other false loves. See, you won't need them. That doesn't mean that you can't eat and you can't, fellowship with other people and be married and raise a family and all that kinds of stuff. Of course you can do that, but you won't need them. You won't be needy. See, how many of you are needy and you scare people off? You're so needy. See? So what is it? Resentment of Father. Okay. So all fathers failed, going back to Adam. Fathers fail. Okay? But that's not an excuse for you to hate him, because then you'll become just like him. Or if you're a lady, then you'll somehow mess your kids up. See what I mean? So now you see the importance of forgiving and forgetting. Okay, let's take a little break, and then I'll continue with some more on this topic. Okay, we're talking about forgiving and forgetting, so you can let go of the resentment. Let go of the trauma. Okay? Your trauma will diminish. But now let's talk about a couple of little practical aspects. These are some little tips that will help you to forgive and forget. Okay? To forgive and forget. If you haven't forgotten, it means you haven't really forgiven. See, if you really forgave the person who did something to you, then later when you encounter them, it will be as if you're... as if you're seeing them for the first time. There they are. You have no feelings whatsoever. No feelings for them, no feelings against them. Nothing. See? Okay. Now, let's talk about a couple of little things. First of all, a lot of us have a problem forgiving and forgiving because we have a wrong idea of what forgiveness means. People have given you a wrong idea. Okay? And as egos, we tend... as egos, we got to roll up our sleeves and make something happen. We got to do something. Okay, now here's what forgiveness is. Remember, I said it's dropping resentment. Okay, so it's like letting go of resentment. See how easy that is? Just let go of the resentment. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be nice to the person. See, a lot of us think, well, if I forgive my father for what he did to me, then I'm going to have a relationship with him. No, you do not have to. You don't have to have a relationship with your father. You don't have to have anything to do with him. Your father could already be dead. See, a lot of our parents are gone. Our father's dead. Or he's somewhere else in the world. We don't even know where he's at. Or somebody did something to you. Let's say some rotten person in school did something to you. Okay? I don't know, they punched you around in the locker room. Or I'm just making something up. Or they said some really cruel things and gossiped about you. And see? Okay, so now it's years later. You don't have any idea where they're at. You don't know if they're where they are. It doesn't matter. So just forgive them. See? If your father's dead, then forgive him. Okay? If your mom is gone and you resented your mom, she was always sick, she was always nagging you, she was always complaining. See? Forgive her. See? Now you see that she wasn't loved. Your father wasn't there for her either as her husband. He wasn't... see? And her father wasn't there for her, so forgive her. Okay? See how that works? You don't have to have a relationship with somebody. Now, another thing that people think is they think, well, if I forgive the person, then I have to pretend nothing happened. No, you don't have to pretend nothing happened. And the other thing we think is that we think, well, if I forgive the person, then I have to, you know, like them or be nice to them or go to them and hug them and blah, blah, blah. No, you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to like them. Maybe they're still rotten. Let's say they're still rotten and unrepentant. They're still doing, well, then you still see that they're rotten. You see that. You don't like it. But you heard the old expression, hate the sin but not the sinner. Okay? So you see that they're still victims. They're still, haven't changed. They're not better. So you see that about them. You don't have to have anything to do with them. You don't have to like them. You don't have to be nice to them. Just don't resent them. That's all. Okay? Now, a lot of people think, well, if I forgive, that means I have to pretend nothing happened. See, well, that's what they want. That's what, like family gatherings, everybody has to pretend that Uncle Charlie is not a drunk. They have to pretend that this person over here didn't do the things that he did. This other person didn't do that. Dad didn't drink too much. Mom didn't slap us around. You see, you have to pretend. See? But forgiveness doesn't mean you have to pretend nothing happened. See? It doesn't mean that at all. It just means you don't resent them anymore. That's what it means. See, you don't resent them anymore. Because pretending nothing happened is like it's an injustice. See what I mean? All right, now let's talk about... So now you can see how you could get my meditation, for example. Get my meditation so you can learn how to stand back a little bit. So you need to learn how to stand back, mentally stand back, so you can go out in the world and be in the world but not of the world. See? So you know how when you're driving along in the car and your hands are on the steering wheel and they look like they're somebody else's hands? You know, it's like you're a little bit objective. You're a little bit standing back. It's like you're not your body. You can go out in the world and you don't react. You're not as reactive. You stop reacting to things. See, people say things that goes in one ear and out the other. See, you just don't react to it. Long time ago, there was a cartoon. It was called Mr. Magoo. You probably don't remember, but long time ago, it was Mr. Magoo, and he was basically a guy. He was out driving, and he went out driving very properly, very kind of slowly, I guess, not too fast, not too slow, but he just went about his business driving, and all these things were happening all around, and people were honking and screeching their horn and flashing their lights and rushing around and squealing tires and cars were crashing and all these things were happening, and he was just driving along and nothing, like he didn't even know it was happening, and totally unscathed, totally innocent, totally oblivious. See what I mean? So you have to learn to go through life where it's not that you don't have compassion for people. Yeah, you have compassion, but you just don't react to things. Don't react so much. Now you have a little bit of distance. See? That's what you need to learn, and that's why you should get my meditation. And that way when someone comes along, it reminds you of someone from the past who did something to you, or reminds you of a trauma in the past. See, there it is. Now you're a little distant. You're just a little bit ahead in time. Your soul is just a tiny bit ahead. You see it coming. There it is. You observe it. You don't resent it. See? You don't resent it. And the moment passes. Okay? Or there it is. You see it. There comes the resentment. But this time you spot it. You let it pass. See? Or there comes the thing that's like the thing from your past that traumatized you. There it is. Now here comes emotions. You feel your heart beat a little faster or something. So you notice that. But you don't add emotion to emotion. You don't get angry at your anger. You don't add resentment to your upset. You don't fear your fear. You see what I mean? You just notice the little emotion. You notice it. You let it pass. Okay? The moment passes and you're okay. So you need to get the meditation. That'll help you to go out in the world and then to be less reactive, less resentful, eventually not resentful at all, not angry, not judgmental. See? All right. But now let's talk about the things from the past. I already told you when they surface. So as you meditate, as you begin to meditate, then things will come to your mind. All of a sudden you remember what somebody did to you or something. Now you'll see that you resented them. See, you'll see that. You'll have a little tear maybe for resenting everybody. Or you'll see where you weren't were unfair to somebody, or you were cruel to the, you did something to them, tempted them to resent you. Now you see that, it comes to mind. See, you feel sad about it, a little tear, a little regret. Okay, and then you're better. See, you have many moments like that. You'll see many things from the past. They'll surface, you'll see them, have a little tear, a little regret. See, and God forgives you. He just wants you to see what you did wrong. See, most of us, we don't even know. A lot of people don't even know that it's wrong to resent and judge. They don't know. No, nobody ever taught them. They don't teach them how to forgive, like I'm teaching you now. Okay, so they don't know. But now you know. Now you know, and through your meditation, you're becoming enlightened. Now you see these things, and you're sorry for your mistakes in the past, and now you move forward. See? All right. Now, what I also want to talk about is confronting someone from your past, like a father who failed you, or a bully who bullied you, or a mother who bullied you, or a father who failed you, or a brother who did something awful to you. Okay, I want to talk about that. It's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous. Confronting. See, someone from, like a father or mother, especially a father or mother who were not good for when you were a child. They were cruel, they were mean, they were neglectful, they were hateful, they were rejecting, they were confusing. See, whatever it was that they did or didn't do that failed you, or they stood by and let something happen to you. See, they didn't protect you. All these things. If you go back to the parent now, see, now remember now, these are the ones who did the biggest number on you. They did the biggest number on you. And they're the ones that know all the buttons to push. They can push all your buttons. So at some point, if they're still alive, you'll have to go back and confront the parent. See, at some point, confront the parent and say, you know, when I was a child, you did this to me and that to me, and you did this and that, and I hated you for it. Okay? I don't hate you anymore. I don't resent you anymore, but I just want you to apologize to me and be sorry. And at that point, see, they might break down and say, I'm sorry, I did all those things to you, I wished I hadn't. Then you can hug and you can be friends, or you don't have to be friends, but at least the air has been cleared. See, that's the thing, you've cleared the air. On the other hand, you might say, you did this to me when I was a child and I hated you for it, but I don't hate you anymore. I just want you to see that that's what you did to me and apologize for it and be sorry. At that point, the most likely thing, is that they'll say, what are you talking about? I never did that. Why, you're ungrateful. See? They'll try to confuse you. They'll try to deny what they did. They'll blame you. See? At that point, you have to be very, very careful that you don't resent them. See, if you resent them for that, then you're just back into the same old mode that you were before. Now you're just as worse, bad off as you were before. So confrontation. Now, what's the purpose of this little confrontation? When I say confrontation, I mean facing them. That's what I mean, facing them. Because it takes away the intimidation factor. See, now there's the intimidation factor. See, where you're afraid to speak up to them, or afraid to tell them something because you're afraid of what they'll say, or they'll deny it. See what I mean? There's an intimidation factor there. Okay? And there's also injustice. They did something to you, they never apologized, they never said they were sorry, that's an injustice. Okay? So here's what you do. Here's the thing. But like I said, make sure, or maybe I didn't say it, so I'm going to say it right now, make it very clear. Make sure that you have forgiven them first. Don't try to confront that person, especially your parent, because they're the ones that did the biggest number on you. Don't try to confront a parent unless you have made absolutely sure that you have forgiven them. In other words, that you've dropped your resentments against them, that you've seen that they too were victims, or she was a victim, or he was a victim. You see it very clearly. you see that you did resent them, and not, and you were, you know, regret that you did. Okay, but you couldn't help yourself. You were only a kid. See, you couldn't help but resent a parent that, for what they did or you failed to do properly for you. Okay, so you resented them, but now see, you've let go of it. Now you're the adult. You're the mature. You're mature. You have moved beyond it. See, you are mature. You're the adult. You're the adult child now, full of compassion. See, and you approach them and you confront them, and it does two very wonderful things. Number one, if you do it right, then it removes the intimidation factor. And number two, it gives them a chance to repent. It gives them a chance, maybe their once in a lifetime chance, to have someone tell them the truth with love. See, now you don't hate them anymore. Before, see, if you had tried to cut them before, it never worked, because you were resentful and angry, and they knew how to confuse you, and they knew how to get you upset. See, and make you angry, and then you became wrong. See? So, but now it's a whole new ball game. See, that's why you have to meditate. It's very helpful if you meditate. Get my meditation. Not any meditation, get my meditation. Practice it. Go out in the world and practice speaking up to people. See, so that's the other thing that you need to learn how to do, is speak up. Okay, so here's the point. Make sure, get my meditation, become solidly grounded. See? Become solidly grounded in these in my teachings. By listening to this tape several times, by meditating, by getting my books, become very solidly grounded in what it means to forgive, letting go of resentment. Become solidly grounded in letting go of resentments. See? And then at some point when you have absolutely sure you have forgiven them, then you can approach that parent or that whoever it is. See, there may be several people to approach. If they're still alive, they may not be. If they're dead, then there's nothing you can do. Forgive them in your heart. Go on with your life. But if they're still there, then you can approach them. And you give them a chance to be sorry. It's a lifetime chance to be confronted by someone who's not angry, who's not resentful, who bears goodwill, who only wants to clear the air. See? And it's their chance to be sorry in their heart. See, if they are sorry in their heart, if they admit what they did and are sorry, then that's very good for their soul. That's good for them. You're giving them a chance, actually. You're giving them a chance, see, to repent and to get better. See? So it's a wonderful thing. What could be more beautiful than to have the child, now grown, now no longer angry and resentful, but now full of compassion to come with truth, to come with the truth. It's a very beautiful thing. Okay? But before you do that, make sure that you have forgiven them. And the other thing, make sure you've gone out in the world and become practiced at speaking up for yourself. See? Like I always say, when you first discover what I'm saying, you know, and say, oh, I got to start speaking up for myself, because that's the intimidation factor. See, in the past, you've been a wimp. You've been too suppressed. What you did in the past is someone did something to you, and then you resented them. See, and then the resentment defeated you. See, you became wrong by resenting them, or you became wrong by being angry at them. See? All right. So now you have to learn to go out in the world and speak up immediately over little injustices. Don't let anger grow. Don't let resentment fester. Anger and resentment fester. If somebody steps in front of you in line and says, excuse me, I was here first. Let's say you're in the Starbucks line and somebody cuts in front of you. Excuse me, I was here first. Thank you. See? If you're somewhere and then you're to be served at a bakery or wherever, and then there's three or four people there, and you were there first, and then you see the person going to serve somebody else, even though you were there first, say, excuse me, I was here first. Thank you very much. See, there's no anger in it, but you're speaking up for yourself. See? No more resentment now. No more clamming up and not saying anything, but resenting. Instead, speak up. See, you have a perfect right to speak up. All right? Okay, now, the other thing is when you begin to speak up, excuse me, I was here first, you're going to notice some anger come out. You're going to hear it in your voice. You're going to feel it. There's the anger. Why? Because of years of suppressed anger. You've been suppressing it all these years. So there it is. There's the anger. See? So suppose you speak up to someone. See? And there's the anger. Then you can say, see? Then you can say, well, sorry about the anger, but I'm still right about what I said. So there you are with your husband or wife or your neighbor or someone. Someone you've always suppressed. You've always never said anything. You've always resented them underneath and didn't say anything. Now you say something. Excuse me, that's, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't dump your garbage over on my side of the yard, please. Thank you very much. See? There's the anger to come. And then they say, well, what are you so angry about? You say, well, I'm sorry about the anger, but I'm still right about what I said. See, don't let them confuse you. In the past, you became angry and resentful, and then you got confused. They confused you. Don't get into arguments. Don't get into an argument with them. Just state your point. State your point clearly. See, don't have any idea of what the effect should be. It'll have its effect. Believe me, it'll have its effect. But don't plan on what has to be the outcome. Just state your point. And if they're likely to throw a whole bunch of flack up in the air. What are you talking about? They try to confuse you about what you saw. They said they didn't do it. They said you're mean, you're angry. They'll accuse you of doing, see? You expect all of this confusion to be thrown up in the air. Just let it go in one ear and out the other and say, well, I made my point. Make your point and then take leave if you have to. Make your point, take leave. See, don't expect that they're going to see what you're saying is true. Don't expect them to be sorry and apologize. Although they probably see what will happen, most likely what will happen, is that they'll resent you. And they'll try to upset you. And then when they see that you're not upset, they become upset because you're not upset. They're upset because they couldn't upset you. They're used to upsetting you. See? So they'll go away and they'll become resentful, which serves them right. See? They'll get some indigestion over it. And then they'll probably do the right thing simply because they're afraid of encountering someone like you in the future who will catch them at it and make them upset again. See what I mean? But that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Right wins. People that are wrong, they should become upset. And if they become resentful and get a stomach ache and an ulcer over it, well, it serves them right. All they have to do is do the right thing and not be resentful. See? All right. So you have to practice speaking up right away. Don't delay. Don't let anger fester. Speak up right away over little injustices. Start with the little things. Don't immediately go in and tell your boss off. You're likely to get fired. And if you're at a place where there are a lot of injustices, well, that's the way it is nowadays in the workplace. There are injustices, all kinds of injustices. Okay? You can't speak up over everything. Just see what's going on. Don't be confused. It doesn't mean you have to like it. Go about your business, do your duty, okay? Watch for the resentment. It's good practice, watching for the resentment, let it go. But learn to speak up over little things. Don't be a doormat. Some people know how to ask you to do something. It's like it's a request, but they're really demanding. You know, they'll come up and they'll say, oh, would you mind doing this for me? See, they'll make it like they're requesting, but they're really telling you. See, then if it's proper to do it, if it's something you could do as a kindness and it's your job, then say, well, yes, I'll do it. But if it's not your job, see, you don't have time to do it, you don't really want to do it, then just say, no, I can't do it. No, I don't want to do it. See, just say no. That's all. It's very simple. Somebody makes an unreasonable demand, then just don't do it. If they ask you to do something wrong, then just don't do it. See? Don't resent. That's the secret. Don't resent them. So practice speaking up over little things. Then at some point, if the person who did something to you is still around, you confront them. But this time, it will be not with anger, not with resentment. See what I mean? All you're doing is pushing them to clear the air. But now the other thing is sometimes when you speak up, you know, your knees will shake. Your heart will pound. Because in the past, you've been so intimidated. You're frightened from when you were a little kid. If you dared to speak up, see, to your mom or something, then it was like you were speaking up to God. You know, the great Wizard of Oz. Remember in the movie, I'm the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. In the past, if you spoke up to someone, they acted like you were a terrible person for even daring to express yourself. See what I mean? So now, see, you notice that you're that your knees are shaking and your hands are shaking and your voice is shaking and you're upset, then just, if there it is, then just speak up anyway. Your knees are shaking and your hands, see, and you're, just go ahead and speak up anyway. Excuse me, I was here first. Excuse me, I was talking. Or excuse me, no, that's not right for you to do that, see? Speak up over a little, start speaking up. Even if you notice the anger coming up, you notice the upset coming up, just observe it. When it comes up, just observe it. Let it pass, okay? Then the day will come. The day will come. The day will come when you approach the person who did the biggest number on you and you say, look, when I was a kid, you did this to me and that to me. And I hated you. I don't hate you anymore, but I just want you to see what you did and apologize and be sorry. And the most likely thing is they'll say, hey, what are you talking about? I never did that. Why, you're an ungrateful person. You're a liar, blah, blah, blah. And you just say, well, you know my number. When you're ready to apologize and mean it, then you can call me. And then you shake the dust from your shoes, walk away. You never have to have anything to do with them again, right? You spoke up. You told the truth. You gave them their chance. See? And now you go about your life. And don't worry about it. Okay? And you're free. You're free. Okay? Now, the other thing is sometimes, see, a person or even the devil himself or whoever is in operating through this person who did something to you, it may not even be them. See, this may help you to forgive them also. It may not be them. It could be something in them operating through them. The spirit of their mother, their mother's wicked spirit, or the molester spirit, or the violator spirit is in them. See, pulling their strings, it's not even them. It's not even your real mother there anymore, or your real father. It's something else in them. Sometimes we see that. You see, all of a sudden it's like there's somebody else there. One time I confronted someone about what they did, and I saw evil smile come over their face. It was like someone else was smiling through them. See? That's why I don't hate the person anymore. I see that they're a captive. See? But that person can be set free. See, if there's a little bit of the real person still alive in there, and here the person is confronted with the truth, if they say, you know, you're right, I'm sorry, what I did was wrong, and they apologize. See, now look, they can start to become free of the evil thing that has them in its grasp. It doesn't want them to apologize. It doesn't want them to be sorry. See, it doesn't want them to be ashamed. It doesn't want them to feel regret. See, then it begins to lose power, and they may become free. They may actually become free. They may not, but they may. If they do, it's a beautiful thing. It depends on the inclination of their soul. See? You remember Luke Skywalker when he met his father, Darth Vader? He found out it was his real father. Underneath that big, ominous, scary, frightening exterior was this little man in there. And for a moment, they touched. The real father and son got to know each other. See? All right, so you never know what's inside. Just the main thing, your main defense is let go of the resentment. Be honest, speak up for yourself, okay? Don't have any expectations of what the outcome will be, and then go about your business. Now, sometimes, like I said, even the devil himself can then put on an act of victim act. See, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I couldn't, oh, life is so tough, and blah, 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 and then they'll start crying crocodile tears. See, they're trying to pull you in, feel sorry for them again, to feel guilty and feel sorry. No, no. They have to see what they did was wrong and admit it. I was wrong. See, and apologize. And be sorry. They have to admit it. See, they're trying to avoid the truth. They're trying to avoid repenting by putting on the act. So you have to be ready for that. So here comes the act. Say, well, don't fall for the act. Just say, well, when you're ready to apologize and be sorry, you know my number, and then just go about your business. All right. I hope you've enjoyed this program. Go to commonsensecounseling.org and get the meditation there if you don't have it. And my books are there. I have excellent books which talk about these things. Thank you, and may God bless.